The Southern California Fish Institute presents the George Gessel Show.
Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Gessel with Norma Talmadge, and bringing you through the courtesy of Hal Roach Studios, the guest appearance of one of the screen's foremost comedians, Alan Mowbray, also radio's latest craze, the string band, 10 men and a guitar, with Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Tommy Tucker and his boys open George Gessel's office in Hollywood.
Well, dear, it's spring.
That's true.
And is
that... That's true.
The winter of our discontent is over, dear. We don't have to beware of the Ides of March. And how do you like this new spring suit, huh?
It's very smart. Who painted it?
Well, it is rather a gay color. The tailor called it a melancholy blue. But don't you think I look like Gainsborough's blue boy?
No, I think you look more like Ginsburg's bell boy.
Well, dear, I've always tried to dress rather conservatively. In fact, I was terribly surprised when a few moments ago I heard somebody say, well, he looks like a fashion plate.
They probably said vegetable plate.
Oh, Norma.
Oh, Mr. Gessel.
Well, little Miss Starr, what's your pleasure this lovely Sunday? And by the way, child, how do you like my new Easter suit?
It don't fit you, McGee. Oh, Miss Talmadge, where are we going to be on Easter Sunday?
Child, we're going to be in the beautiful city of Washington.
That's right, dear. And on Easter Sunday, you wear your new little Easter bonnet and we'll stroll around the White House grounds. We'll create quite a stir, you and I, because, well, I'm going to wear the same suit that I have on now.
And then, Josephine, if you haven't got an Easter egg, you can roll Mr. Gessel down the White House lawn.
I don't know what you've got against the suit, dear. It speaks for itself.
I can imagine what it's saying. You rain on me and I'll tighten up on you. Why don't you watch what the butler wears and dress like he does?
You mean our butler, Syracuse? By the way, incidentally, he quit today.
I'm not surprised. We never can keep a good butler to... You get too friendly with him.
Well, honey, you can't ignore a person altogether, particularly after they've invested money in your business.
Mr. Gessel?
What is it, Josephine?
Why does an elephant never forget?
I told you that last week. Because he isn't married and nobody gives him a letter to mail. Are you satisfied?
Mr. Gessel, my mother says she wishes you were an elephant.
Why?
You probably forgot to pay her.
Honey, this is between the child and me. I'm not running away. Look, Josephine, please, like a good girl, run out and play. Miss Talmadge and I have business.
Will you tell me another story after the program's over?
After the program's over, I'll tell you another story, yes.
What story did Mr. Gessel tell you, Josephine?
About when he was a soldier.
The one about when he was in the World War?
Uh-huh.
Did you like it?
Yes. Oh, Miss Talmadge.
What?
What did they need the other soldiers for?
Josephine, Miss Talmadge and I are very busy today. We have to hire a new servant. Please go away.
If you do that, you and Miss Talmadge won't be happy anymore.
Why? What do you mean, Charles?
Well, I read in a storybook once that Adam and Eve were very happy till the servant came.
Look, Josephine, answer the door, then close it from the outside, please.
All right.
Good evening, good evening.
How do you do, sir, and what can I do for you? Your face looks rather familiar. Haven't I seen you up in a tree someplace?
I'm looking for Senor Gorgeous Gessel and no Senorita Talmadge.
Well, that's us.
My name is Don Alonzo de Emmanuel Domingo with Villa de Haystack. And I understand you look for a butler.
Well, with that name, dinner would be over before we'd get through calling you. Who told you that we needed a butler?
Nobody. I'm here the first part of your program.
Are you a good butler?
Good. I am the best Don butler in all Mexico.
You don't look it. I don't believe you'd even know how to take an American gentleman's hat.
He would if there was oil in it.
Well, what do you say, senor? Am I getting the job?
Well, just a minute. I want to talk to Marv. What do you think, honey? You think you're going to take this one?
Well, we need somebody. Let's try him.
Whatever you say, dear. First, we'll see if he knows how to answer the door. Now, you talk to him, and I'll sneak outside and knock.
I think we might be able to use you.
Gracias, senorita. Gracias.
Will you answer the door, please, Emmanuel?
Si, si, senorita. Ah, Senor Giselle.
Well, honey, what do you think of him?
He answers the door, all right. I guess we might as well hire him.
Okay. Say, Emmanuel, well, he's gone, dear. Where could he be? I'll answer it. It's Emmanuel. What's the idea?
Well, you fooled me before. Now I fool you.
That's very, very nice, and we'll engage you. How much money do you want?
I don't want any money. Just sing for me.
Well, that's a nice romantic note that you have about you. You must have something. What about a tip of a dollar or so?
Senor, if you tip, tippy, tippy, tin.
See? See, dear, we were all worried how we were going to get into that song.
One night when the moon was so mellow, Rosita met young Manuel. He held her like this, this lovely miss, then stole a kiss, this fellow.
Tippy, tippy, tin, tippy, tin, tippy, tippy, tan, tippy, tan. He kept on receiving and he had a bitty tooth and a tie. Tippy, tippy, tin, tippy, tin, tippy, tippy, tan, tippy, tan.
She was saying, don't just throw him the clothes, and that's how he complied. When I sing to my senorita, I sing tippy, 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 ten, that's so sweeter than her mother, than her brother, and he kicked me right in my guitar.
Tippy, tippy, tin, tippy, tin, tippy, tippy, tom, tippy, tom. He kept on receiving and he had a feeling she was satisfied.
Tippy, tippy, tin, tippy, tin, tippy, tippy, tom, tippy, tom.
She was saying,
go
and throw a hell of a poker, that's the reason why.
Ay, ay, ay.
Ay, ay.
Adios.
George.
Yes, dear.
I've just been talking to Tommy Tucker. His mother and dad are listening in at their beach home in North Dakota, and he'd like to make a little speech. I think you should let him.
Well, I'd be more than pleased. Tommy, you go ahead and make a little speech, and particularly since your mother and dad are listening. I wouldn't want to give anyone the impression that I've ever tried to corner the market on speaking to relations. Now, you go right ahead.
Thank you, George. I have prepared a little speech for the occasion.
I see. You understand, of course, Tommy, that I have no control over people dialing to another station while you're speaking, you know? Go ahead, make it snappy, because with all the guests that we have, we're rather limited for time.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this program...
Look, Tommy, if I may suggest, I don't think you need to say that at all. In the first place, it's a country of ladies and gentlemen. Secondly, if they're listening to the program, they're hearing it. And if they're not listening, there's nothing that can help you by saying that they are. So I wouldn't need... You don't need that.
Okay,
go right ahead, Tommy. Go right ahead.
As I stand at this microphone, I'm very happy to say...
Look, Tommy, I hate to be butting in like this, but I want to give you the advantage of my long years of experience. You don't have to say I'm standing at the microphone, you see? I mean, people know that if they hear you talking. They know you're not locked up in a barrel someplace. So it's simply wasting time. I'd go right ahead with it.
Well, I'm very happy to be here.
Well, there's really no reason for you to say that at all, because if you weren't happy, you wouldn't be here, and if you hadn't been offered some other program, you'd have taken them long ago, you see, sir. You wouldn't be here altogether. If I were you, I'd get right down to your address, you know, and direct you. At this time, it behooves me beyond words. It behooves me. Will you please, go ahead, Tommy, and step it up. Come on.
And so as I speak to you this lovely Sunday afternoon...
Look, Tommy, it hurts me to have to do this, but this is for your own good. The people know it's Sunday, because if they didn't know it was Sunday, they'd probably be at work somewhere at their jobs. Also, it may not be a lovely day throughout the country. If it happens to be raining someplace, this makes you look like a very big dope. You see what I mean? So I'd skip that and go right ahead.
Well, maybe I shouldn't say anything at all.
That's what I've been trying to tell you, Tommy, yeah.
I'd like to say something if I may.
Oh, you go right ahead, dear. You are not going to try to stop. I've learned there's no need in life in playing a losing game.
And at this time, we present one of the most novel musical organizations in America today. The original string band. No orchestra. Just 10 men and a guitar.
Oh,
Yes, sir. That was a swing band. Yeah, yes, sir.
There's a lot of activity at Fish Harbor on a busy day. You're apt to see the Sea Giant, the Swan, the Del Rio, the Leslie J. Fulton, the Lina B., the Robert R., the Star of Monterey, and many other sturdy fishing vessels putting out to sea. The weather-beaten, bronzed sea captain skillfully steering his ship out of the harbor. The strong, healthy, neat-looking crew. Every vessel ship-shaped with pile after pile of enormous fishing nets neatly stacked on the stern. Fishing nets so large that it takes the strength of 8 men to move them inch by inch. Fishing nets that cost several $1,000s apiece. Fishing boats that are each worth over $100,000. The equipment of an industry that totals $46 million in California and makes our ports some of the most important fishing ports in the world. A day at the harbor makes you long for a fish dinner at one of our many fine hotels and restaurants. A complete fish dinner, including perhaps a crab cocktail or big luscious oysters on the half shell, a fish chowder, a seafood salad, a broiled lobster, or baked barracuda, grilled sea bass, steamed fresh shrimps, and some of the wonderful fish sauces that our chefs prepare. A fish dinner is as delightful and refreshing as the salt spray from the sea. For the joy of good eating and the thrill of good health, eat fresh fish several times each week.
This is the George Jessel Show, Norma Talmadge speaking. And this program is dedicated to the butlers everywhere. And it just happens that at this moment we have visiting with us one of the screen's foremost sophisticated comedians who may be able to help us solve the butler problem. I'm sure you've all seen him in many, many pictures recently, having been in Topper and his current picture, Merrily We Live, about which most of the critics agree is one of the greatest comedy performances ever seen on the screen. We present Mr. Alan Mowbray.
Thank you, Miss Talmadge, and thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, Alan.
Why, George Jessel, of all people, what are you doing here? Are you also a guest?
Yes, why, Alan, this happens to be my program.
Your program? What an absurd age we live in.
Well, it's better than playing with the night while we had that. But anyway, Alan, I'm particularly happy that you're here.
Well, it's a pleasure. George, I happen to be one of your most ardent listeners. And when Miss Talmadge invited me, I was delighted because I knew it would give me an opportunity to tell the people about my new book.
I know, Alan, but we're not allowed to advertise.
Well, it's called A Bang and Two Echoes, and it's already on the market.
I'm sure, but that's nothing to do with us.
Yeah, and it sells for only $1.25 each or two for...
We're not allowed to do that here, Alan.
Now he tells me. Well, I'm sorry, George, old boy.
Not at all, old boy. Stuff it all. Alan, I want to ask you a question that's important to us. What do you consider the most essential qualifications for a good butler?
Politeness and tact, sir.
Alan, well, you don't need to use that cell business with me. Forget being a butler for a minute.
Well, it's in my blood, George. You see, I've just finished 12 weeks butling in Merrily We Live, plug. So I even say... thank you, sir, to a traffic cop when he hands me a ticket. That's politeness and tact, sir, the two most essential qualifications.
Mm.
By politeness, I mean acting in such a manner as to make a visiting fireman think he's the whole department.
Plug, too.
And by tact, I mean never seeing a guest kissing the mistress. Unless, of course, I happen to be a villainous butler. Then there's a bit of blackmail to dally with. But speaking as a sort of expert, George, I venture to say that the super butler is yet to come.
Super butler. What do you mean by that, Alan?
Well, the butler of today, George, answers the door, receives visitors, and follows a general routine. Whereas the super butler, the modernistic streamlined butler of the future, will anticipate his master's desires and needs.
I see, except that I don't quite get it, Alan.
Well, if Miss Talmadge and you will assist me, I'll try to illustrate what I mean.
We'll be glad to, Alan, won't we, dear?
Of course.
Well, very well, to begin with, the super butler applying for his own position, without the aid of the middleman. Ready? On your mark. How do you do, miss?
How do you do? But I happen to be a missus.
Well, one would never think so to look at you, ma'am.
You're very kind. What can I do for you?
Well, I feel that you're in need of a butler. Am I right?
Yes, but how did you know?
I anticipated it, ma'am. I passed here yesterday and happened to notice how crudely the door was opened. Having started on the outside as a sidewalk admiral by opening cab doors, one door led to another. Until today, I am perhaps the best door opener in the country.
I didn't know there was any difference.
Ah, but there is, ma'am. The way you turn the knob, the way you close the door or slam it in someone's face with éclat.
I'm interested.
Very good, ma'am, but before I can give you my services, I must ask for references. Do you have any?
Of the highest caliber.
Very good, ma'am. And may I ask your name?
Jessel. Mrs. George Jessel.
Not the George Jessel.
The very same.
My, what a small world. You know, I've opened many a saloon, banquet hall door.
But I'm sure you won't mind working for him, will you?
I'm sure I won't, miss. I was with a Scotch couple once.
What is your name?
Baxter, ma'am. T. Vestibule Baxter. But my scoutmaster calls me Buster.
Very well, you may start at once, Baxter. In the meantime, I'll phone Mr. Jessel all about you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Just a moment, Baxter.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you one of those butlers who watches the clock?
Oh, no, ma'am. I have a wristwatch.
I see. Also, Baxter, there will be times when I expect you to cook and dress Mr. Jessel.
Well, I don't mind dressing him, ma'am, but when it comes to cooking him... Or am I taking you too literally?
That will be all, Baxter. You may go now and be sure and look after Mr. Jessel when he gets home.
Very good, ma'am.
By the by, Baxter, whom did you work for last?
For the Reginald Milfords, ma'am.
The Reginald Milford?
Yes, ma'am. You remember the Milfords who died so mysteriously?
Oh, what a party that was last night. What a party. Ah, there you are, Baxter. What have you on the tray?
A bit of a pick-me-up for you, sir.
How did you know I needed it, Baxter?
I anticipated it, sir.
Oh, Baxter, you are a jewel. Oh, what a headache. What a headache.
You were out very late with the gentleman last night, sir, and I anticipated that you might have a bit of a Katzen jammer this morning. So I've already taken a headache powder for you.
Thank you, Baxter. You are a jewel. Now go and take a shower for me and make it good and cold.
I anticipated that too, sir, and have already taken it.
Good. I feel better already. Tell me, what time did I get in last night?
You were delivered, sir, at 3 this morning.
3 o'clock in the morning, oh heavens, what will Mrs. Jessel say?
Not a thing, sir. As per her custom, she looked into your room at midnight, sir, and saw you sleeping peacefully under the covers.
Me?
I anticipated Mrs. Jessel and took the liberty of sleeping in your bed. I was under the covers, sir.
Ah, Baxter, you are a jewel. You think of everything. I'll bet you could even help me out of this mess with Miss Fifi. You know, she's threatening to file a $100,000 suit against me for this and that. Well, I did make a lot of foolish promises, but you know how those things are, Baxter.
Yes, sir. I anticipated trouble with Miss Fifi, but I can assure you, sir, that Miss Fifi will not file this suit. If you will look on the front page of the morning paper, sir, you will notice an article stating that you've been caught short in the stock market and are practically bankrupt.
But it isn't so. Who put this article in the paper?
I took that liberty, sir. Gold diggers do not dig in dry ground.
Baxter, you are a jewel.
Thank you, sir. I try to please.
Let me see. Well, look at this in the paper. Curl Barrel taking 50 of the most beautiful blondes in America for a European tour on the steamship Paprika. Boy, how I'd like to be on that boat.
I have already packed your bag, sir.
Packed my bags already? Baxter, you're a jewel.
Well, I anticipated that you would want to go, sir.
Yes, but what about my wife? She'll never let me go.
I have arranged that too, sir. The Paprika doesn't sail until Tuesday at noon. So on Monday night, sir, I have arranged for your wife to sail to Bermuda with me.
Mulberry?
The name is not Mulberry, child. It's Mowbray.
Anyway, what do you want?
Why does an elephant never forget?
Well, because, Oh, run along and play, child.
I don't run along and play. I stay here and sing.
Sing? What are you going to sing?
The Delightful Bird.
I say, Jessel.
Yes, sir?
How old is this child?
She's 8 years old, sir. Sings in 5 languages, sir, and she's about to sing about the Delightful Bird, sir.
Good. Mix me a whiskey and soda and go and shave yourself.
I did shave, sir.
Well, next time, stand a little closer to the razor. Sing, baby, sing.
The story is told that Queen Victoria used to drink a glass of seawater daily so that she might secure its mineral benefits. Those wonderful minerals of the sea are available to us in a much more palatable form. Fresh fish from the Pacific are in our markets the year around. Fish that are rich in calcium, that captain of minerals. Calcium that builds the bony framework of the body, that makes strong teeth and promotes a sound, healthy nervous system. Fish that are rich in phosphorus, that important mineral so indispensable for all active tissues of the body. Fish that are rich in iron, that supreme element in nutrition that is necessary in the formation of red pigment in the blood. Fish that are rich in iodine, the precious mineral that prevents goiter and thyroid disturbances. These minerals are vital to growth in children, vigorous health in adults, and to the highest possible tone in every organ of the body. And these minerals are found in fresh, smoked, or cured seafood. Fish is also rich in tissue-building protein, energy-producing fats, and the four important vitamins A, B, D, and G. No wonder fish has been one of man's most important foods throughout the ages. No wonder that nations whose main article of diet is fish are noted for their tireless energy and endurance. No wonder that countless delicious recipes for serving fish have been developed by every country bordering on the sea. For the joy of good eating and the thrill of good health, eat fresh fish several times each week.
Hello, Mama. This is Mowbray. No, Mowbray. Here, George, you better take it. She thinks I'm your Uncle Mo.
Thanks very, very much, Al. Hello. Come on, that was Alan Mowbray, yes. You bet it was nice of him. Well, he's a fine actor, you betcha. I should have told you we wanted to hire a butler. No, we don't want Uncle Milford for a butler. I don't care where he butles. We don't want him. Why should he be a good butler? He was brought up under butler. I don't want him here. What are you doing with yourself now? You're reading about the foreign diplomats. What do they do? Well, as diplomats serve their respective countries, they all sign papers for peace. These are called treaties. Then the fellow who has a loaded gun tears up the treaties. That's modern diplomacy, yeah. Oh, what's going to happen to democracy? Well, don't you worry about this country. The president thought of a plan to keep this country safe, and the Senate backed him up. Yes, ma'am, we're going to have a navy, second to none, and Gus Edwards and I have written a song about it. Listen. What's the use of being second when a body can be first? Any time at all, it's better to be first than to be worst. So let's be second to none, second to none. The number of our navy must be number one. We want it so big that the whole world will heed it. We want it so big that they all will concede it. We want it so big that we never will need it. Our navy second to none.
Anchors away, my boy, anchors away. Until we meet once more, here's wishing you a happy voyage home. Crack at the bay, here comes a sailor, give him a hail, that Yankee sailor.
Second to none, second to none. The number of our navy must be number one. We want it so big that the whole world will heed it.
We want it so big that they all will concede it.
We want it so big that we never will need it. Our navy.
Goodbye, Mom, and goodbye, everybody.
The George Jessel Show brought you Norma Talmadge, also the guest appearance of one of the screen's foremost comedians, Alan Mowbray, through the courtesy of Hal Roach Studios, together with radio's latest craze, the celebrated Sing Band. Regular members of the cast included Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Next week, the George Jessel Show will bring you the guest appearance of one of the screen's favorite actors, Edward Arnold. Also, those two comedians beloved for over 50 years, Weber and Peel. Join us then in George Jessel's office. The doors will be open at 3 p.m.
This program comes to you through the courtesy of the Southern California Fish Institute. The selection, Love Walked In, heard on today's program is from Golden Valley. Material for all these programs is written by Sam Carlson and George Jessel. The George Jessel Show comes to you through facilities of the Don Lee Studios in Hollywood. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.